On our first day of work, Joshua and I were up before dawn. We met near the well and filled the water skins our fathers had given us, then ate our breakfasts, flatbread and cheese, as we walked together to Sepphoris. The road, although packed dirt most of the way, was smooth and easy to walk. If Rome saw to anything in its territories, it was the lifelines of its army. As we walked, we watched the rock-strewn hills turn pink under the rising sun, and I saw Joshua shudder as if a chill wind had danced up his spine. "The glory of God is in everything we see," he said. "We must never forget that." "I just stepped in camel dung. Tomorrow, let's leave after it's light out." "I just realized it. That is why the old woman wouldn't live again. I forgot that it wasn't my power that made her arise. It was the Lord's. I brought her back for the wrong reason, out of arrogance, so she died a second time." It squished over the side of my sandal. Well, that's going to smell all day. "But perhaps it was because I did not touch her. When I brought other creatures back to life, I've always touched them." "Is there something in the law about taking your camel off the road to do his business?" "There should be. If not, the law of Moses. Then the Romans should have one. I mean, they won't hesitate to crucify a Jew who rebels. There should be some punishment for messing up their roads. Don't you think? I'm not saying crucifixion, but a good smiting in the mouth or something."
"But how could I have touched the corpse when it is forbidden by the law? The mourners would have stopped me."
"Can we stop for a second so I can scrape off my sandal? Help me find a stick. That pile was as big as my head."
"You're not listening to me, Biff."
"I am listening. Look, Joshua, I don't think the law applies to you. I mean, you're the Messiah. God is supposed to tell you what he wants, isn't he?"
"I ask, but I receive no answer."
"Look, you're doing fine. Maybe that woman didn't live again because she was stubborn. Old people are that way. You have to throw water on my grandfather to get him up from his nap. Try a young dead person next time."
"What if I'm not really the Messiah?"
"You mean you're not sure? The angel didn't give it away? You think that God might be playing a joke on you?" "I don't think so. I don't know the Torah as well as you, Joshua, but I don't remember God having a sense of humor."
Finally, a grin.
"He gave me you as a best friend, didn't he?" "Help me find a stick."
"Do you think I'll make a good stonemason?"
"Just don't be better at it than I am. That's all I ask."
"You stink."
"What have I been saying?"
"You really think Maggie likes me?
Are you going to be like this every morning? Because if you are, you can walk to work alone." The gates of Sepphoris were like a funnel of humanity. Farmers poured out into their fields and groves. Craftsmen and builders crowded in, while merchants hawked their wares and beggars moaned at the roadside. Joshua and I stopped outside the gates to marvel and were nearly run down by a man leading a string of donkeys laden with baskets of stone. It wasn't that we'd never seen a city before. Jerusalem was 50 times larger than Sepphoris, and we had been there many times for feast days. But Jerusalem was a Jewish city. It was the Jewish city. Sepphoris was the Roman fortress city of Galilee. And as soon as we saw the statue of Venus at the gates, we knew that this was something different. I elbowed Joshua in the ribs. Graven image. I had never seen the human form depicted before.
"Sinful," Joshua said.
"She's naked. Don't look. She's completely naked.
It is forbidden. We should go away from here. Find your father."
He caught me by my sleeve and dragged me through the gates into the city. "How can they allow that?" I asked. "You'd think that our people would tear it down."
"They did, a band of zealots. Joseph told me. The Romans caught them and crucified them by this road."
"You never told me that."
"Joseph told me not to speak of it."
"You could see her breasts."
"Don't think about it."
"How can I not think about it? I've never seen a breast without a baby attached to it. They're more friendly in pairs like that."
"Which way to where we are supposed to work?"
"My father said to come to the western corner of the city and we would see where the work was being done."
"Then come along."
He was still dragging me, his head down, stomping along like an angry mule.
"Do you think Maggie's breasts will look like that?" My father had been commissioned to build a house for a wealthy Greek on the western side of the city. When Joshua and I arrived, my father was already there, directing the slaves who were hoisting a cut stone into place on the wall. I suppose I expected something different. I suppose I was surprised that anyone, even a slave, would do as my father instructed. The slaves were Nubians, Egyptians, Phoenicians, criminals, debtors, spoils of war, accidents of birth. They were wiry, filthy men, many wearing nothing more than sandals and a loincloth. In another life, they might have commanded an army or lived in a palace, but now they sweated in the morning chill, moving stones heavy enough to break a donkey. "Are these your slaves?" Joshua asked my father. "Am I a rich man, Joshua?" "No, these slaves belong to the Romans. The Greek who is building this house has hired them for the construction."
"Why do they do as you ask? There are so many of them. You are only one man."
My father hung his head. "I hope that you never see what the lead tips of a Roman whip do to a man's body. All of these men have, and even seeing it has broken their spirit as men. I pray for them every night." "I hate the Romans," I said.
"Do you, little one? Do you?"
a man's voice from behind.
"Hail, centurion," my father said, his eyes going wide.
Joshua and I turned to see Justus Gallicus, the centurion from the funeral at Japhia, standing among the slaves.
"Alphaeus, it seems you are raising a litter of zealots."
My father put his hand on my and Joshua's shoulders.
"This is my son Levi and his friend Joshua. They begin their apprenticeship today, just boys," he said by way of apology.
Justus approached, looked quickly at me, then stared at Joshua for a long time.
"I know you, boy. I've seen you before."
"The funeral at Japhia," I said quickly. I couldn't take my eyes off the wasted short sword that hung from the centurion's belt.
"No,"
the Roman seemed to be searching his memory.
"Not Japhia. I've seen this face in a picture."
"That can't be,"
my father said. "We are forbidden by our faith from depicting the human form." Justus glared at him.
"I am not a stranger to your people's primitive beliefs, Alphaeus. Still, this boy is familiar."
Joshua stared up at the centurion with a completely blank expression.
"You feel for these slaves, boy. You would free them if you could."
Joshua nodded. "I would. A man's spirit should be his own to give to God."
"You know, there was a slave about 80 years ago who talked like you. He raised an army of slaves against Rome, beat back two of our armies, took over all the territories south of Rome. It's a story every Roman soldier must learn."
"Why? What happened?" I asked.
"We crucified him," Justus said, "by the side of the road, and his body was eaten by ravens. The lesson we all learn is that nothing can stand against Rome. A lesson you need to learn, boy, along with your stone cutting."
Just then, another Roman soldier approached, a legionnaire, not wearing the cape or the helmet crest of the centurion. He said something to Justus in Latin, then looked at Joshua and paused. In rough Aramaic, he said, "Hey, didn't I see that kid on some bread once?"
"Wasn't him," I said.
"Really?
Sure looks like him."
"Nope, that was another kid on the bread."
"It was me,"
said Joshua. I backhanded him across the forehead, knocking him to the ground.
"No, it wasn't. He's insane. Sorry."
The soldier shook his head and hurried off after Justus. I offered a hand to help Joshua up.
"You're going to have to learn to lie."
"I am? But I feel like I'm here to tell the truth."
"Yeah, sure, but not now."